go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1. But if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Mitt Romney isn't entirely ruling out a run for president, but he's not seeking his party's nomination.
I don't think anyone in our party should say, oh, no. Even if the people of the party wanted me to be the president, I would say no to it. No one's going to say that.
The Republican who lost the 2012 race to President Obama said it would take a brokered party convention where no GOP candidate goes in with a clear victory. That's something Romney told NBC's Meet the Press he thinks would be very unlikely. The former Massachusetts governor made headlines last week when he came out to blast GOP frontrunner Donald Trump and said he would endorse any of the remaining Republican candidates except for Trump. Protesters are trying to put a stop to an appearance by Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. He's scheduled to speak at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Over 36,000 people have signed a petition asking UIC to cancel the event. Meanwhile, other GOP candidates, John Kasich and Ted Cruz, are scheduled to speak this week in the Chicago area, as is Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders. This is USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Some strong storms will be possible in parts of Mississippi beginning tomorrow, and there's a lot of rain in the forecast this week.
Even though those storms could produce damaging winds and maybe a few tornadoes,
the rainfall is going to be the bigger deal, and probably the bigger concern.
Brad Bryant at the National Weather Service in Jackson says the heaviest of the rain will push in on Thursday and could last into the weekend, with parts of South Mississippi getting as much as 5 to 6 inches, with a few spots closer to 8 inches. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The toxic water in Flint, Michigan is a hot topic for the Democratic presidential debates. At a debate last night in Flint, Hillary Clinton said those responsible for the crisis should be held accountable. She told residents that the Michigan state government let them down. Bernie Sanders told the CNN debate that the crisis is a disgrace beyond belief. Both called for Governor Rick Snyder to resign over the crisis. The candidates face off again tonight at a town hall event on Fox News at 6 p.m. Eastern. A cyber threat against Apple computers is over. Apple blocked the ransomware attack aimed at Mac users over the weekend. The security company Palo Alto Networks reported that it found that the ransomware wrapped in a legitimate Bitcoin application. Once a computer is infected with ransomware, the user is directed to pay a fee, usually in Bitcoin, to recover their files. This weekend's ransomware attack is believed to be the first aimed at Apple. Previous attacks targeted computers running Windows. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. The weather today is sunny with a high near 60. Southwest winds 8 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be increasing clouds with a low around 41. Southwest winds around 6 miles per hour and becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday will be partly sunny with a high near 67. I love it. West winds 5 to 9 miles an hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 44. Calm winds.
Wednesday, sunny with a high near 73. That's even better than 67. Southwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 49. Thursday, there's going to be a chance of showers, but it'll be partly sunny with a high near 71. And the chance of precipitation is 40%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 48. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Hunterdon County's Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And we have with us a very special guest, Deborah Boyle Ferreira. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And Deborah is a patient safety coordinator. I have to find out what that is. And a nursing supervisor. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you.
I got to ask, first of all, I always ask every guest this. So how did you get into nursing?
This being my second career, always wanted to be a nurse.
Wow.
Came to the United States and I did my nursing and have loved it ever since.
That's awesome. If you don't mind my asking, where did you come from?
I was actually born in India, but I lived in Kuwait in the Middle East.
Oh, all right.
All my life. I was brought up over there. My father was employed by the government and I came from there.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you.
Did you work over there?
Yes, I was educated over there, and I worked as an executive secretary for years, but I always wanted to do nursing, and since they didn't offer it there, I was lucky enough.
Yeah, it's funny because all my guests I ask, you know, and some say, oh, well, I don't know, it was a job and I got it, now I love it, and, you know, others say, well, when I was a little kid, I wanted to do it, you know, and I've, you know, so I was just curious how people get into their line of work.
Yes.
You know, I would be the one that, not this, but, you know, when I worked, I'm since retired, but I would say, well, gee, I had four kids, a house, so that meant a mortgage, car payments, insurance. I didn't care what I did as long as I found a job. You know?
So. Now, I was lucky enough to be able to change my profession, and I got into something that I loved,
right.
Although it was later in life, but
that
I did.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you're doing what you like, and that's great.
Love
you
it.
Know. What is a patient safety coordinator?
A patient safety coordinator is a role that where I coordinate activities to make sure our patients are safe. For example, presently I'm doing a Lean Six Sigma project on the maternity and newborn nursery.
Okay.
To improve our discharge process, to make it easier for the patients when they make it a smooth sailing for them when they're going home. They get all the necessary information, their education, so they are well equipped while they're going home. I audit our 25 practices that we have on the National Patient Safety Goals.
Hmm.
I do that as well as I conduct observations in our operating rooms or anywhere where they have procedures on the timeout to make sure that there's no wrong site surgery taking place. So it helps to keep our patients safe.
Maternity.
Mm-hmm.
We have four kids.
Oh, congrats.
They're all adults now. And, you know, my wife would have to stay 1 or 2, maybe 3 days. At least 2 to 3 days. My mother, when I was born, stayed a week.
You're right.
And, you know, that was the norm, you know. What's the norm now?
Well, now if you have a vaginal delivery, it's about 2 nights.
Okay.
And if you have a cesarean, it's 4 nights.
Well, that's understandable, though, I would think.
Yes, after a cesarean. So just with the 2 nights, we have to make sure that when the patient goes home, they're well educated how to care for themselves, how to care for their newborn infants.
Baby, too, right.
Absolutely. So just in those 2 days, nursing has a lot of education to do. So by making the process even simpler, we're sending home well-educated patients.
Now, does that include any patient? Like I'm saying, not just maternity or whatever, as somebody goes in for appendicitis or something like that? Is that patient care?
Yes, it is, but they have a different criteria when they go home.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah.
And that's, you know, some days are just the same day surgery. They're in and out.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I was in medical center September, 10 days. And
wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's a long time.
And I was walking around the fifth floor, you know, and the people, the nurses would say, go get your exercise. I, yeah, okay, I'll walk around, you know. And having worked a couple years part-time mm-hmm. at the hospital, and I volunteered there. Well, I've been volunteering there.
We love our volunteers.
I'm sorry?
We love our volunteers to
come. I've been volunteering there 8 years.
Thank you.
And, you know, so I know a lot of people, if not by name, by sight.
Absolutely.
They know me, you know, and it's ironic because when I was in the fifth floor and security guards had come up and sit and talk to me. One of the fellas, Tim, who's in sanitation.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Absolutely.
He's outside mopping the floor and he looks up and he says, Larry, what are you doing here? So he comes in and talks to me, you know.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, people who have office jobs and had to come up there for some reason, they'd look in and they'd see me. And, you know, and they'd come in and talk to me and everything. So it's kind of, you know, that
very,
part was nice.
It's a very family-oriented hospital.
I would have rather been home, but,
you
know. Absolutely. You know, but it was one of those things, you know.
We try and get you home as fast as possible.
Yeah, well, the problem was they... You know, had to do a, they wanted to do a biopsy on each side of my head.
Oh, I see.
And I'm on warfarin for AFib, so they had to.
See, that's where the education comes in.
They had to drain me mm-hmm. off warfarin before they could do it because I guess they didn't want me to bleed all over the place.
Absolutely.
You know? So then after they did it, then they had to get me back to get to the level. Yep. So in the meantime, I'm feeling fine and I'm walking around the floor, you know. So, but anyway. What are some of the protocols that the medical center has in place, you know, to keep patients safe?
Yes, some of the safety goals that Huntington Medical Center practices are part of the National Patient Safety Goals. We help to improve the effectiveness of communication between our caregivers and the patient to incorporate that we always may have the patients incorporate them into their care. We prevent healthcare associated infections by using aseptic techniques. Procedures to help prevent wrong site surgeries. Mm-hmm. We do that to keep up. And we've also started the barcoding technology for safe medication administration.
Okay. You scan the medication before you give it to the person? Is that?
Absolutely. First, okay. We check, make sure that the patient, you know, the patient's identification, the patient is identified
right,
twice
right.
with the ID bands and the medical record number. And then after that, when we have identified the medication and the patient, then the last step is the barcoding. So we've added another step for safety of the patient.
Right.
So we actually... You know, we use the barcode. It's like, you know, you code the patient's
right.
ID, you code them to the medication. If the patient, if that's the wrong medication, the computer will alert
right.
you and say it's
right.
the wrong medication. Otherwise, you scan it for safety, and that's how you administer your medication.
Yeah, I can't
so just
tell you. I can't
another
tell you every,
level.
Yeah, right. I can't tell you how many times they asked me what my date of birth was.
Absolutely.
You know? And I'd always say to them, I'll tell you mine, you tell me yours, you know. And the nurses would look at me like, yeah.
Yes.
But no, I understand. You know, it was, I'm just curious, you know, because mm-hmm. you definitely don't want to give a patient the wrong medication.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, especially if he or she has had an operation of some sort or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they're trying to recover, you sure don't want to give them the wrong meds.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
So
identification is
right,
the top priority.
Absolutely. And what have you been successful in doing and implementing?
Oh, we have been successful in instituting the timeout procedure to prevent wrong site surgery, where the patient, again, is identified prior to the incision. So we have instituted that, preventing falls.
What is a timeout? What
the timeout is when the entire team is all ready to perform the procedure on the patient. We do a checklist and say, is everyone aware? This is the patient's name. The patient is identified all over again. We identify the surgery that is being done.
Okay.
The part of the surgery which is being done, has the patient been marked correctly, you know, for the, mm-hmm. for the surgery. So all that, so the entire team is aware of what is happening. We're all on the same page.
Okay.
And that's the timeout. Then we help prevent falls to our patients by instituting the bed alarms. And we also color code the patient's gowns. So everyone on the unit, they see a patient getting up. We know the gown, if the patient is leaving the unit, that patient is at a risk of falling. So the entire team is on the same page.
Okay.
Then we do teamwork and communication between the healthcare doctors and the patient, and we help prevent healthcare associated infections by promoting hand hygiene.
Okay. It's interesting because when you say the different gowns and stuff, because like I said, that you know I'd be there and I was bored because I was feeling fine. You know, it's just you know. At this point, because they had me on steroids and you know, antibiotics and everything, it was working fine. So I'm feeling great, you know, and I'm like bored, you know, and daytime television just doesn't cut it with me. You know, and then the nurse would come in and stick her head in. She'd go, take a walk, you know, okay, and I'd get up and walk around, you know. It was kind of interesting, you know, because in July – our family went camping down in Virginia.
Mm.
All the kids, their wives, you know, whatever. Granddaughter, her best friend. On a ride down, I get deathly ill.
Oh.
So we get to Virginia, and we're in Chincoteague Island, Virginia. And that's where the ponies run wild and stuff.
I'm still trying to get there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Oh,
it really is. And we get there, and we only have a pop-up camper.
Right.
So, you know, I pop it up and I'm feeling terrible. And we go into town. We passed a medical center type thing, small office type thing. Well, they were closed. So it was a Sunday. They were closed.
Oh, wow.
So this fellow went by and he and his wife says, why don't you go to the fire department? They can take you to the hospital if you need help.
Oh, that's good.
So we went over there, so they put me in an ambulance, took me up to the hospital. Well, the hospital's in Salisbury, Maryland, which is an hour away. So they get me up there, and they want to keep me. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. No way. I mean, this is camping week, you know. No. So they finally stabilized me and let me go. My granddaughter and my wife drive me back down to Virginia. I get there, and all of a sudden, that night, I had this excruciating pain from my knee to the top of my foot.
Wow.
And I couldn't, the next morning, I could barely walk on it. And so I quickly took a shower and I says, all right, let's go back up there. You know, so they drove me back up. Come to find out I had cellulitis.
Wow. Oh.
And so they had me there on all sorts of IVs and antibiotics and... But they were liquid antibiotics because they said they were stronger than the pill type.
The IVs, absolutely.
Right. So, but then they said, oh, well, walk around and get exercise. Don't, you know, just lay in bed all day. So now I've got this.
The IV pole, I can imagine.
Sticking around. I'm walking around at that. It was just like, oh, really? Come on, let me go. Yeah. But it was interesting because they all left on Friday to go home. And I didn't get out till the following Tuesday, you know.
Yes.
So my oldest son drove my wife down, and they picked me up on Tuesday and drove me back up.
You didn't have a good
It wasn't a good time
for you.
No. And they were all asking me, are you coming down to Virginia this year? Are we going again? I said, I don't know if you're going. I may not go. You
know? Well, I'm glad you took care of the cellulitis. You needed the IV medication.
Well, you know, they had said, the doctors up here had said that the antibiotics and everything in the steroids that they gave me could have caused what caused me to go into the hospital up here.
Wow. Was,
you know, they were thinking. So, I don't know. Anyway, you know. I will say this, though. I've and it's like anything else. If you talk to 100 people, 50 will say, I had a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
50 will say, oh, my God, it was terrible. You know. But that's with anything.
Absolutely.
I know I had a great experience. Now, I don't know whether, you know, of course, I wouldn't want to have been in a hospital, but, you know, obviously. Right. But being I was there, everybody was, you know, some knew me, yes, some didn't, you know, and they were all very cordial, very, you know,
perfect,
knowledgeable, and, you know, kept me informed as to what was going on and what wasn't and so on and so forth. So that helped, you know.
That's perfect. To keep the patient educated about what's going on, their medications, their care, that's what we're there for.
Right, right. You know, when you get a patient,
mm-hmm.
what type of questions do they ask regarding their care and environment and that sort of thing?
Patients on admission are encouraged to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up about their care, speak about their concerns for the staff to acknowledge them and to answer them. We encourage our patients to educate themselves about their illness, about their treatments, about the tests that they're taking. Ask, why am I taking the test? What is it meant to be done? So they are part of the healthcare team. Ask about the medications. You know, the side effects. How should I feel about this? Will this medication interact with the other medication that I'm taking? And that's very important. As you know, medication errors is the most common healthcare mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
It is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And participate in all the decisions of your care. Make sure that, you know, you are a part of what's going forward with your healthcare. Are you in agreement? Because we found out that if you include the patient and they are in agreement about their care, they will do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep them outside and make a plan, not incorporating them, they may not follow it. And that's the idea of incorporating or making sure that they have an advocate. Some patients need an advocate to be with them.
Right.
We encourage an advocate to be part of the team. Those are the things we do encourage our patients.
What would be some of the questions that patients would ask?
They would ask is, you know, why am I here? What is wrong with me? Why should I be taking this medication? What do these medications do for me?
How long do I have to take them?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. How long do I have to take them? And then we try and educate them so when they do go home, they have these medications, so when they go to the pharmacy, they know what they are picking up from.
Right.
You know, we encourage the patients to make sure that your physician, your healthcare team, when they come into the room, that they have used the aseptic
hand wash. Right.
There's nothing wrong in telling your caregiver, "Oh, did you wash your hands before coming in?" We encourage them to do that.
Mm.
So do speak up. That really prevents a lot of infections.
Right. Well, let's face it, the hospital is really a very infectious place when you think about it. I mean, you know, so using the hand
sanitizer,
whether you're a patient or not, is, you know, but still, because, you know, it's just, if you're not feeling well,
mm-hmm.
You know, like if I don't feel well, I volunteer on Fridays from 8 to 12. And if I don't feel well, I'll call them up and say, I'm sorry, you know.
That's perfect.
And, you know, because you don't want to go in and infect somebody else or get more infection from, you know. Because let's face it, it is germs around, you know, in the hospital.
Absolutely. We encourage visitors that come in into the hospital to, we have the thing where you wash in and you wash out.
Right.
So you wash in when you go into the patient's room, and as you leave, you wash out.
Right, right, exactly. And that's not only for the nurses or, you know, patient care people. It's for everybody,
it
really.
It is for everybody. And during the flu season, and even on, for example, on maternity, we don't allow visitors under the age of 12.
Right.
And it's just because of the infections, and we have newborn babies there.
Do they, well, say they're 12. They can come up and see, like, a brother or a sister?
Siblings can come in at any time. It has nothing to do with siblings. It's just other visitors.
Yeah, but if they're 12 or younger, they can't, can they?
Siblings can come in.
Oh, siblings can. Okay.
Siblings can come in. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just the other cousins and nieces and
nephews. Right. Okay. Yes. All right. That makes sense. What about intensive care? If a patient is in intensive care, what do the same principles apply there, or is it more strict? Or
no, we tell everyone who comes in, if you are sick, those patients in ICU are a lot more depressed in their health concerns. So if you are sick, there's no need for you to come in at that time. But if you say, you know, I have a light cold, could I have a mask? We are more than glad to provide you a mask at that time. But the same thing, you wash in and wash out, you'll be fine. Yes.
There was a time, I'm not exactly sure how many years back, but there was, they had by the elevators, where the information desk is across, there's three elevators.
Yes.
They had a desk there. And I and others sat at that desk. And if people were going upstairs, we'd ask them what floor they're going to. And if you're going to X floor, I forget which one it was, they gave them a mask that they had to wear.
I think that was the time when the flu...
Flu was extremely bad. Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. At that time, we did incorporate that.
Yeah. And, you know, you'd see people coming from, like, the doctor's office building, you know, and... they just try to get on the elevator. No, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and it's, you know.
Absolutely.
But I don't remember it ever being, I think that was the only time.
I completely agree with you. This was just once when that was really
But it
severe.
Was very intense. I mean, you know, it was just, whoa, you know, really?
Yes, our volunteers did a great job. They did. But you find these aseptic hand wash everywhere, you know.
Right.
So it's easy to find and to use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, as soon as you walk in the front door, the main entrance, there's one right there.
You're absolutely
You go down
right.
by the admitting, and there's another one right there. You know, I mean, you know, I know because I sit by admitting, you know, when I volunteer on Friday, you know.
Basic aseptic, you know, you do that, and you protect each other.
Right. Is being a nurse as... what's the word I'm looking for? As rewarding as you thought it might be?
Even more rewarding. I've worked on oncology for about a year, but I knew that wasn't my niche, and I finally went to and worked on maternity. And as of today, I still work on maternity. I do three jobs actually at the hospital, and. I love it. Everyone says, "Why is this your first delivery?" I said, "No, it's yours, and I'm excited for you. It's wonderful. It's great to see our patients going home."
Yeah, I see them sometimes coming out through the main door. You know,
main entrance,
right? Main entrance there. Yeah, and it's they look so happy, and you know, And they are. They should be.
Absolutely.
Know.
All the patients going home, you know, healthy and doing well or improving is the way to be.
What was the other two jobs?
Well, I am the nursing supervisor as a part-time nursing supervisor. I work for patient safety, and I also work on maternity as a labor and delivery nurse.
Oh, okay. And where are you the supervisor at?
For the house.
For the house?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I do the evening and nights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how does that work? Do you change shifts or you rotate shifts or are you always constantly working like 3 to 12 or something?
No, for patient safety, I work 3 days a week, just a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I have the other days to pick and choose where I can work. So I do it all, and it's wonderful. You get to know everybody in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. We have to take a quick break. This is the mental health maternity. Well, I was going to say maternity center. No, Hunterdon Medical Center's hour. We got talked about maternity, and you know, my mind just focused on it. This is the Medical Center's hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very happy to have with us Deborah Boyle Farrar.
Faria.
Okay. Yeah. I get it one out of two. That wasn't
bad.
That's
fine.
You know, I was playing baseball. They pay me a lot of money. That's a 500 average. You know. We will be right back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey,
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged to have with us today Deborah Boyle Ferrara.
Farrier.
Got it. Well, I'll get it sometime. And Deborah is the patient safety coordinator and a nursing supervisor at the medical center. And we were talking about various different subjects. But a lot of it has to do with safety. And what can a patient do to ensure their own safety besides follow what the people tell them?
Well, what can a patient do to ensure their own safety is basically get involved in their care. Be involved in the care, be involved, ask questions, and make sure that the plan of care incorporates them into it.
You know, it's ironic because I've had both my knees replaced. I had them replaced at the same time.
Wow, that was big.
Well, I did a lot of research, and a lot of people went to this one specific doctor who was not with the medical center. And everybody said that he, you know, great surgeon and everything. And the one woman said, oh, he's a great surgeon, but he has no bedside manner. And I said, I'm not going to date him. What do I care? I don't care if he, you know, as long as he does the operation, right? I could care less. I don't, you know, and he does it. But you could ask him a question and he'll make sure you understand it.
That's vital.
Or if you don't understand it, he'll go over it until you do, you know. And that's more important to me than him asking me how my kids are, you know, because he doesn't know my kids anyway. So,
which is great, you know. You ask and have them re-clarify if you're not sure.
Right, exactly. But be prior to, and I'm sure it's the same way at the medical center, but prior to it, they were issuing, you went to a meeting, and they gave you, a stack of papers, and they said, you got about 6 weeks before you get in the operation. Do these exercises at least twice a day for the 6 weeks prior. And I'd go home and I'd do them. Sometimes I'd do them twice a day. Sometimes I'd do them three times a day. They did the operation. Then they gave me a thing. It said, do these six exercises at least two times a day for the next 5 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it was. And I did it at least two, sometimes three times a day.
Excellent patient.
When I got out of the hospital, it happened to be Morristown, but when I got out of the hospital, they put me in rehab.
A rehab.
Kessler Rehab in Chester. And you'd be in this big auditorium, actually, like a gymnasium almost. And the one nurse that was had X amount of people, one, you know, a trainer and stuff that had X amount of people. And she'd come to me and say, how you doing, Larry? I said, I'm fine. She says, okay, look. She says, I got some people that are not so fine, that can't get out of the wheelchair, blah, blah, blah. She said, you want to walk around the thing? I said, yeah, sure. I get up and I walk around with my thing, you know. And people say, what are you here for? Well, I just had both my knees replaced. You have both your knees replaced? I only had one, and I'm in pain, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me ask you something, if you don't mind. Did you do the exercises they told you to do prior? Well, no, why would I want to do it?
There you go.
Well, why would you want to do it? Well, if you didn't think it was important, I don't think they would have given them to you, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, I just couldn't fathom.
It's by following the treatment plan.
Yeah, I mean, I it just, didn't register with me. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world. And it just didn't, you know, if you're going and having an operation, regardless of what it is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going under the knife. So to me, it's all serious. Why wouldn't you do what they told you? You know? You know, it's like if they told me to take a shower three times a day, I would have taken a shower three times a day. You know what I'm saying? It's like they must know what they're talking about. They've been doing it for God knows how many years. And it just didn't register that, oh, well, I didn't go, you know.
Well, then it's a huge difference in you, in your recovery to theirs.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'd go
absolutely.
To, after I got out of Kessler, they said I could go to outpatient for a couple of weeks. So I went up here to Health and Wellness up on 31 there.
Right, right? You're right, right.
And it was fine because I already belonged to the gym up there. So
excellent.
I went, and the girl there would tell me the same thing. She says, oh, I got somebody here. She says, why don't you go out and, well, first ride the bike for 5 minutes or whatever it was. And I'd ride the stationary bike, you know, and then she says, I'd be done. And she said, you're done? I said, yeah, okay. She says, why don't you go out and do this machine and that machine? And she says, I'm still working with so-and-so. And I'm thinking, and it's the same thing, because I had said to her, we got to be, you know, where we
right.
kid around, because she saw me coming into the gym and stuff. And I says, you know, she says, they just don't listen. She says, if I tell them to do sit-ups at home just for the argument's sake, they don't do them. Then they wonder why they're here for, you know, and then their insurance runs out and they're not well.
And they
say, and now they're not better and they have to go and they can't start over again. And me, they release, she says, I can't keep you anymore. She says,
well, that's why by incorporating the patient sometimes into their treatment plan, one hopes that they will follow the plan because they were included in it.
Yeah, you know, and it just, it doesn't make sense to me to have, be a patient, going to go and do this operation, whatever it is.
Right.
Whether it's minor or severe, it's an operation. I don't care, you know. At least that's my thinking, you know. It may not be the professional's thinking, but it's mine, you know. So why wouldn't you do what they tell you? I don't know. It's like, hello, you know.
You can only do so much.
You're right. You can, and it's a shame. You know, because then people go, well, this didn't work well, and blah, 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 you know. Well, it didn't work well because you didn't do what they told you to do, you know. But, you know, anyway.
Well, you were a good patient.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, I just wanted to get it over with, you know.
And get you back to life.
Yeah, and, you know, well, they did, a lot of doctors and professionals have told me I got a high tolerance for pain. But even still, you know, you do what they tell you to do. You know, if they would have told me to take a pill twice a day, I'd have taken a pill twice a day. You know, it's just that's the way it is. What you've gotten some awards for you and the organization have received. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely. That is one of the best things to talk about, or to brag about.
Well, we're not bragging. We're just speaking about an award you got.
Yes. I mean,
my other radio show got an award from the governor. But
wonderful. You know. That's great. Yeah. We have our Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade, which we did get an A for that.
You'll have to explain that.
Absolutely.
Leapfrog to me is a game the kids play.
Absolutely. Well, it measures, it has a lot of co-measures that it's measured, many things are measured in the Leapfrog. And that's how they look at it. If you have gained your patient satisfaction, infections, if you have prevented infections of central line infections, if you have a low number of patients who have fallen. So they take all that into account, and then they grade the hospital, a safety grade. And we've got an A for our safety, which was wonderful.
That's great.
Thank you. The Hunterdon Medical Center is also designated as a magnet hospital. And what a magnet hospital means is that we do strive to improve and deliver excellent patient care by using best practices. We provide safety and satisfaction to foster collaboration, a collaborative culture in the hospital that advances nursing standards and practices.
Okay. Go back. What was in the beginning you said? Can't think of a word now.
The Magnet Hospital that we strive to improve and deliver excellent patient care.
Okay.
By using best practice.
Best practice is?
Best practice is when there is a study and says a lot of other places have done, and they said how would you take care of a wound? A lot of other studies have been shown, if a lot of studies, 10 studies or 20 studies have shown that the best practice of taking care of a wound is in this manner,
way, yeah,
then we'll adopt it.
No, I
just
see.
Not
okay.
Picking and choosing of how you would practice.
Okay.
So we try and incorporate best practices in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Promote patient safety. And we have been selected to present at the National Conference in Washington, D.C. in June of 2016 on our hospital safety program in teamwork and communication.
Whoa. All right.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It is. You know. It is.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you stop and think, how many hospitals are around the country, you know, or even in the state,
right.
You know, and that's cool.
Yes, yes, it's exciting, and we're all excited to go. The team is excited to go and present.
And you're going
too? Yes, I
am.
All
right.
Going with Stephanie Doherty and Gladys Ney, who's another patient safety coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And when is it again?
That's in June of this year, 2016.
Great.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy the trip.
I'm looking forward to it.
And you're going to Virginia, is it?
No, it's Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. Okay. Well, hey, that's have you been there before?
Yes.
Okay.
We were fortunate enough to be to present before as well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Yeah, no, it's... I just find it's just tough to get around down there. That's all. You know?
Yes, we try and stay more centralized to get into it because it's about a 3-day conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we went down there, you know, to see the various, you know, sites and stuff, and it's just
beautiful
awesome.
Beautiful place,
it really is.
Washington. It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And I wanted to take my kids down to see the Vietnam Wall.
Mm.
And, I won't go back because it's too rough for me. I know too many names on there.
Oh.
I served with too many people on that wall, and you know, so I won't go back. But I wanted them to see it, you know, and also, you know, some of the others, you know, like
it's
going.
It's fabulous.
It is. It's just awesome, and you know, when you go into these places and
the museums
just,
and oh yeah,
oh, yeah,
it
and
is.
It's just you know, wow. You know, you're looking around, you're saying, wow, this is awesome, you know.
But, it is.
You know, but you got to get a bus to take you or a cab or whatever, you
That's
know.
It's very difficult to maneuver in
yeah,
it. As
you
long
know,
as
driving,
you stay outside
it's like,
and...
driving, it's like New York City. You don't find any place to...
You commute into
yeah,
Washington.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's cool. That is great,
Thank
though.
You. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. The various awards that Hunterton received, and that shows there's some importance, obviously, to those awards. So,
absolutely. It actually shows the rigorous health and safety standards of an accredited organization.
By other words, that you enforced
yes,
these, right?
Because we've enforced that by getting these awards. It just it shows that, you know, that we... The way we are practicing our rigorous practices are over there to ensure safety for our patients.
Do you teach other people, nurses, patients' aides, or whatever, how to do these practices?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thought you might. I just was curious. You know.
Absolutely. What we have is a Team Steps. Team Steps is a program where we teach everyone to be on the same page. So everyone is doing the same thing.
Okay.
And educating the patients. We encourage doctors to speak to each other, nurses to speak to each other, doctors and nurses to speak to each other. So we have like a briefing mm-hmm. in the morning where we talk about all our patients. So everyone knows, has an idea about everyone's patients on the unit.
Right.
If things change during the day, we call a huddle, you know, mm-hmm. get people together for a few minutes and say, things have changed. What can we do to keep our patients safe? Reorganize the unit. And then when we finish anything at the end of the day, we have a briefing.
Okay.
What did we do well today? And during these huddles or the briefings, we incorporate the physicians, the nurses, the coordinators, and everyone on the unit. So it is really a whole team working together
okay.
for the safety of the patient. So we teach the new employees mm-hmm. coming in. We teach them during the day. You know, we go
right.
to the units. And, you know, you have to sustain it. You just can't teach someone and hopefully it continues. You have to maintain it. You have to sustain it, that it continues mm-hmm. over and over again.
Right, right. I noticed when I was in the hospital, when I had shift change, morning and afternoon, I don't know about night, but, you know.
It's a 12-hour shift most of the units
yeah,
have.
Yeah, so when they did the morning and then the afternoon, they would go around the off-going nurse
mm-hmm.
and the oncoming nurse would go around room to room, you know, and talk in front of you. You know, you'd be, yeah.
And that's called bedside reporting, which is excellent. And the idea of doing the bedside reporting is, as I was saying, you are including the patient in the care.
Right.
So if I'm giving a report to the oncoming nurse, the patient can add the information, his or her pain level, or what she liked or would like to do to be incorporated on the next shift. And that's what we do. We do bedside reporting.
Yeah. It's amazing when I have a problem with pain level. Okay. That's just me. When I was in rehab, they on 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, what's your – oh, 1 to 10.
1 to 10. You got that right.
1 to 10, what's your pain level? I go, 0. This is not funny now. On 1 to 10, what is your – 0.
It's wonderful. You have no pain.
I have no pain. They couldn't believe that I had no pain. And I says, I'm serious. You want me to – all right, 1. You know, I didn't have pain. And it was like, I guess all the other people in the room had pain and I didn't. And they're going like, what are you trying to be a wise guy? You know,
you have great pain tolerance.
No, I don't. I don't have any pain. You know, what do you want from me? You know, it was just funny all the time because I'd say, no, 0, you know, or, and they go look at me like I was playing games with them, you know, and I'm no, you know. And the one nurse who kept saying, all right, you go walk around, Larry.
Right.
She knew. Yeah, okay, fine. You have no pain. Go walk around, and I'll be with you in 20 minutes or so. You know. Okay. You know, and I walk around. You know,
excellent.
But, you know, it was just funny because, you know, even now, I don't know. You know, they ask you, like, you go to your general practitioner and the nurse there will say, you have any pain? You know, 0 to 10, you have any pain? Or 1 to 10, you have any pain? No, I don't have any pain. Okay, it's like, gee, no pain. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have any pain, you know. I do get pain every now and then, you know, but it's...
Right.
Yeah, but it's just funny because... But I did notice that they would, you know, both the ongoing nurse and the outgoing nurse would come and they'd go room to room, you know.
That's excellent.
And, you know. And, you know, in some cases, some of the patients up there were a lot worse off than I was. And, you know, they couldn't move like I could. And, you know, so it was like sometimes they were always hitting the button for them to come, you know.
So, absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's sad, you know, I think, because I was like, I'd walk around, you know, they wouldn't have to bother with me.
You know? You're one of the lucky ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If someone had any question about patient safety or what should they do, et cetera, who would they contact or how would they contact somebody?
We encourage that safety or quality concerns be directed to our patient safety director, who is Stephanie Doherty. And she will help redirect a person to the right individual to handle the concern. Or you can go to our nursing supervisor, who is always very easy to to get hold of in the hospital. Or even going further, you can you can go to the vice president of patient care services.
How would they get a hold of these people, though?
You just call to the hospital, you speak to the operator, and ask for the patient safety director.
Okay.
And they'll connect you. We have a hotline. We can, you know, you can call, call into it. She will always get back to you. But if you need, and if she's not available, and if you need someone immediately, just ask for the nursing supervisor who would be able to assist you at that time.
And the hospital number is what,
688-6400?
6100. Yep. 6100.
Okay, I said 6100.
All right, out there, if you want to call, it's 908-788-6100.
All right. Perfect.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on today, Deborah.
Thank you. It was wonderful talking to you.
It was wonderful talking to you. It's, you know, and I learned something, you know, learned a couple things, actually.
Good.
You know, and I hope people out there have learned also, you know. And when I see you in the hospital, we'll say hi.
We'll definitely say hi to each other. You know. Thank you.
I don't go up to the maternity ward too often. No. So, you know.
You'll see me around because I'm normally on the first floor in patient safety. Yes.
You know, but maternity ward, I've been through enough.
Well,
I don't want to go anymore.
Grandkids.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Deborah. I appreciate it. And we will be back again next week. Same time, same station. So enjoy your week. Have a good one.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Sometimes I'd go to my parents' home, the phone would ring and I'd pick it up, and it would be Mrs. Reagan calling my father to talk about some political decision that the governor had to make or was going to make.
Former ambassador to Great Britain Bob Tuttle tells Fox News, Nancy Reagan was a great influence on her family and says he was saddened by the news of her death.
She will be thought of as one of the most influential first ladies in our history. She was a big part of my life, as was President Reagan, and I was very lucky to have known her.
Funeral arrangements for Nancy Reagan are expected to be announced later today. The former First Lady will be buried next to her late husband, former President Ronald Reagan. The 94-year-old Mrs. Reagan died yesterday morning at her California home, leading to an outpouring of tributes from across the country. Again, she will be buried at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, where her husband of more than 50 years was buried in 2004. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.